Hey guys, and welcome to episode 3 of the MLB UK Community Podcast, a podcast to be named later, and it is an NL East fans preview special. But not only that, we've got a fan coming on who is yet to have a team and has let us decide his fate. I'll explain more shortly, but as ever, I am joined by Tracy. Tracy, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I am great. I am very good. Back to the NL East, sort of our speciality, but it won't be me and Tracy doing it. It's going to be Nick and Mike. Mike, the Cubs fan from last week, and Nick, who you guys haven't met yet from the MLB UK community and LA Angels fans. Nick, welcome to the show. First time on. How are you, buddy?
Thank you, Dave. I am ecstatic to be on the show. It's a dream come true for me. I mean, ever since we launched this, it's all I've ever wanted. So, great.
You've missed the first two.
I was on holiday. Sorry.
Nick, how did you become a LA Angels fan?
Well, speaking of holidays, it was a thing that happened in 2002. First time I went over to California with my family. I was a huge sports fan in general. So we caught a baseball game. We obviously won the World Series that year. And ever since then, we went back a few times when I was growing up, used to catch games out in the ballpark and just kind of carried on from there. So I guess it was a case of going to Disneyland and falling in love with a baseball team.
Not a bad mix, to be fair.
No, it certainly isn't. It's lovely down there.
And how long have you been an Angels fan for?
So, well, since 2002, but I'd say properly, Vlad Guerrero was probably my favourite player from 2004 onwards. But I think university was probably the time where I just devoted most of my life to watching baseball in the middle of the night. And it's kind of stuck from there.
Good man. And and now, of course, you're the newest member of the MLB UK community team. Are you enjoying it so far?
I am. It's a great honour to be part of the team as well. I mean, I think the work you did, I've got to pay tribute to you here. Aww. And George and Jack and Hannah. It's a great setup, and I'm just looking forward to continuing it this year and hopefully getting bigger and better. And absolutely. Dave and George wouldn't let me go without mentioning the hashtag MLB Meetups UK, and expect to see some more on that very soon.
Absolutely. I was about to ask, any news on any meetups for the season coming up yet?
We will have something very, very soon ahead of opening weekend. So just stay tuned to the usual channels.
Brilliant. Looking forward to that, mate. And opening day is close. It's coming up. We are just under a month away. Spring training games are now in progress, even as we speak. It's great to have baseball on TV again. And as you've seen on social media, the Capsoft boys are filming already. Ben and Phil have been out there. They're in Clearwater yesterday. They're, I think, in Dunedin.
Dave, it was Mark.
It was who?
It was Mark and Ben.
It was Mark and Ben. My bad. I think Phil joins them in Arizona. Yeah. Mark and Ben. Sorry, my bad. Sorry, Mark. I've been out already filming stuff for the new series of Caps Off, which will be coming on, I presume, just before the new season starts with some great new stuff already. It looks like they've been filming. And we'll try and get them on before the season starts to plug the new show and see what they've been up to. Also, you may have seen on the social media, on Twitter and the Facebook groups, that Joel Bailey from Joel Four Bases, at Joel Four Bases, has a fantastic new 80-page in-depth 2020 preview out. He knows his stuff, and it looks like a fantastic preview magazine. £10 plus £2 delivery, and at least £5 of it goes to the Princess Alice Hospice in Surrey. He makes no profit from it. Half it to charity, the other half just covers the postage and putting it into production. It's a brilliant cause. It's a brilliant preview. Joel is a brilliant guy. Check him out at Joel Four Bases and get your copy of his preview. It's in depth. It's full of knowledge. And honestly, it's the best purchase you'll make this year. So please go out and support Joel and the Princess Alice Hospice and get your copy of the preview. Also, I'm not sure if you've seen, BT have also announced which games they'll be having on opening day on Thursday, the 26th of March. Oh, it's coming up. Nationals v. Mets will be on BT, along with the Giants v. the Dodgers and Angels v. the Astros. And, of course, they'll have games throughout that whole week. I know Phillies Marlins are live on the Friday. And then I think Angels Astros again on the Saturday. But they're going to have games, of course, every night, all throughout the season. And their schedule is on the BT Sport website. So definitely check that out. But as I said at the start, we have got a fan on, Matt Mutton from at British Baseball Pod, who's been following baseball for a long time and yet to have a team. So we're going to help him out. Here is Matt as we decide his baseball future. Right then, so here we go. We are joined by Matt Mutton, a baseball fan who is yet to find his team, and we are going to decide his baseball fate for him. Matt, thanks for coming on, buddy. How are you, mate?
I'm very nervous. I don't know how you managed to talk me into doing this, but let's see what the let's see how the bandage is ripped off, or the plaster is ripped off, I should say.
Now
let's see what color the bruise is underneath.
Me and Nick came up with this sort of idea from the old Soccer AMs when they used to have guests on that didn't have a team from America. They used to pick them out of a hat and that would be the team. We thought, you know what? We could have a bit of fun with this. And Matt has very kindly volunteered himself to come on and be the first one.
So, I remember that because Stone Cold Steve Austin got Bolton Wanderers and I'm a Bolton fan. I was like, yes, Stone Cold Steve Austin's a Bolton fan.
Did he stick to it though? That's the question.
I don't think he knows where Bolton is, if I'm honest.
Well, I don't think many people in the UK do either, do they?
Mate, I don't even know where it is, and I'm from there.
Matt, we can find you on Twitter at British Baseball Pod, and talk to us about your new podcast. I've had a listen, and I've really enjoyed it, mate. It's a great insight into British baseball.
Thank you.
Tell us about how you became a baseball fan and behind the pod, and how come you haven't had a team yet?
Right, I'll start off at the beginning. I've had this interest in baseball since my preteen years. I had an Amiga 600, and there's a baseball game called RBI Baseball, which I just adored playing. I don't know what it was about it, but I was just completely enthralled in it. And then sort of created a bit of a league with some of the kids in the street where we used to have, do you remember them? It's like Velcro pads, and you used to have the pink and green ball. I'm actually looking at you. You don't look that old, actually. So it's probably just me showing my age. But we used to use them as like catching mitts and bats and stuff, and we used to play with them. And then when Channel 5 launched with the MLB shows, that was it. Then I was just like, can't wait. I remember the adverts before it and having the trailers. And me and my friend Lee were just like chomping at the bit to finally see some live baseball, and it was it sort of spiraled from there. The reason why I don't really have a team is because I've never really sort of followed that close up until late. And for a while I was thinking maybe I should just follow a few players. It makes fantasy baseball a lot easier to play, because if I don't want to say like pick an Astros player for whatever reasons I might have for not wanting to pick an Astros player, I can just completely avoid them and just sort of root for a group. It was Tom from Backflip and Nerds sort of said just follow a player maybe and see where it takes, you know, don't have to put all your eggs in one basket. Josh Chetwynd, who used to be a host on Channel 5 Baseball, he's a Boston Reds fan, and he was saying like look for underdogs, you know, pick your own personal journey, and then you guys came along and sort of...
Which of the teams you definitely don't want?
This is going to sound horrible, and it may cost me a few fans later down now, but I have quite a strong moral background and I couldn't be an Astros fan at the moment. Just because no one said sorry. And I know people probably talked about Astros to the blue in the face, but if it was my lad and he was telling all these lies to get himself out of a hole, I wouldn't be letting him off with a slap on the wrist and like, oh, you didn't mean to do it. Okay. They robbed teams from championships. They lied and they're not sorry. And I think the league's really failed a lot of people by not setting a precedent there by saying you can't do this, because someone else is going to try something in a few years down the line and they'll get away with it. And before you know it, it's part and parcel of the game, just like the steroid stuff. Asterisks is next to everything.
Yeah, on a personal level, I could not agree more with that. Right, let's do this. Let's tell listeners how this will work. Basically, behind me, I have a whiteboard of all 30 MLB teams listed. Each team in complete random order, and no, it's not 30 Philadelphia Phillies written on the board. Each team has a number against their name. Matt here is going to give me a random number between 1 and 30. whatever number that corresponds to on the board, which I will turn around and show Matt when I reveal it, will be his MLB team. Matt, are you ready?
As I'll ever be.
I feel like we need some tense background music. Like you know when they had it on You Want to Be a Millionaire?
Yeah, we do. We needed some. Dave, you can always edit this in, can't you?
Yeah, I can. Will it be A, Miami Marlins? right. Matt, have you thought of a number between 1 and 30?
I have.
Matt, what is your number?
5.
Ooh. He's going to... I don't think he'll like it.
Matt, it's not a Yankee, is it?
No. Matt, you have picked number 5.
Yeah.
It is a National League team.
Okay.
It is a National League West team.
Okay.
Matt, I'm giving you the option now of stick or twist.
Can I call a friend?
You can call me. That's all you've got.
Oh, do you know it is, don't you?
I know it is. So I don't want to influence the decision.
I've got a stick answer.
Yeah.
Yeah, go on. Hit me.
Matt, your team is the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Oh. Padres, you said.
Number 5 on the board is the LA Dodgers.
So Ian Bleas from Liverpool Trojans will be happy with that one. Yeah, I'm looking at the board.
Here's what you could have had.
Astros at 6. You were close.
You were close to the Astros and Dodge one away from the Twins as well.
What is the significance of the number 5?
There's not really one. It was just a number that used to, like with my football days, I used to have number 5 being a centre back. I liked the shape of it as well. When I used to play hockey, I really wanted the number 54 because it just looked really good on the back of a jersey. And it's also
look good on the back of a Dodgers jersey.
Oh, with a 0 next to it as well, do you think?
LA Dodgers. Hey, they're going to be fighting. They're going to be fighting for that World Series this year. They're going to be favourites in the NL.
Yeah, it looks like it.
The LA Dodgers. Initial reaction?
I don't really know. I think I need to let it sink in. Like I said, I was kind of hoping for like a family-based team. I'll probably never even make it to the States, so I don't know why that was even on my list of things to consider.
You never know.
It could have been a lot worse.
Could have. It definitely could have.
And if you do get to Los Angeles and you need a family-friendly club, just go down the freeway, get yourself to Anaheim, and that'll be your real team. Get yourself over to the Angels.
So I'm like a spy, sort of undercover, but wearing exactly. The colours of the enemy just so I can...
Exactly. The perfect disguise.
And Matt, are you willing to come back on and discuss how your Dodgers fandom is going during the season?
Of course.
Good man. We'll have the NL West preview pod very shortly as well in the next couple of weeks. Matt, thank you so much for doing that for us, buddy. The newest LA Dodgers fan, Matt Motton, everybody. Thanks for coming on, mate.
Thanks, gents. Keep up the good work.
Cheers, Matt. Speak soon.
All the best with the podcast.
See you later.
See you again during the season, mate.
Thank you very much. Ta-ra.
Thank you, mate. Ta-ra. So, would you believe it? The LA Dodgers is Matt's team. LA Dodgers, what do you reckon, guys?
It's a nice one for him. Nice World Series for him straight off, isn't it?
Exactly.
He's a Bolton fan, so it'd be nice for him to win a few times, wouldn't it?
That's
true. It could have been a lot worse.
Yeah. It could have been the Tigers, the Orioles, someone like that.
It could have been the Orioles or the Tigers Mets. Or the White Sox.
Oi!
Or the Yankees.
Yeah. Or the Astros, who he really didn't want. So the Dodgers is not a bad team, I think.
It's a decent middle ground. I think it's a good middle ground. He wanted an underdog, but...
They haven't won anything in a long time, and they're gunning for that World Series. They're going all out. And this year, I think they are the favourites in the NL to get to the World Series. Can they finally win it?
The Dakota have got them at 103-59.
He's in for a good year. and we will get Matt on throughout the season to let us know how his fandom is going. And, of course, to keep us updated with the British baseball side of things as well. And if you guys out there listening who are fairly new to baseball or been following baseball for a long time but yet to have a team, hey, get in contact and we'll do the same again. We'll get you a team. We'll get you to come on throughout the season and let us know how it's going. But, right, that's it for me hosting. I'm going to hand over to Nick and to Mike who are going to take over the season reviews. Guys, the reins are yours. It's in your hands. This is the NL Fans Preview Show. Take it away, boys.
Thank you, Dave. Really appreciate that introduction. We're going to do it quite similar to those of you that listened to last week's episode, the NL Central, except I've got one quick question earlier that came in anonymously. What is the point of the Mets? I'm going to go to Tracy.
No prizes for guessing who that was from.
But I'm kidding. Let's save that. We're going to go to Miami Marlins underscore UK with Pete. The Marlins finished 57 wins and 105 losses last year. Obviously, there's a lot of room for improvement there. And so, Pete, how did you become a fan of the Marlins?
Hey, buddy. Marlins, for me, I was in Marlins Park, saw Stanton hit a huge, huge home run, and thought, this looks like the team for me. So it was purely a love fest with Big G. And that was it.
So how did you feel when he left Miami?
Disappointed. But at the time, it's one of them, when you have to trade away your best players, it's disappointing, no doubt about it. But actually, I'm feeling super hyped at the moment in terms of where we're traveling, which way we're traveling here with this team. So,
well, let's get on to that. So, how do you see the year going ahead? I mean, Pecota has you at 71 wins. Do you think that's a realistic target for the team this year?
Yeah, good question. I mean, how many did we win last year? 57?
57, yeah.
Yeah, 57. So, the reality is to make up 13 games in this division, particularly, is going to be tough. So, 70 is going to be a stretch for us, in all honesty. On the Marlins podcast I put out there, I feel personally the Marlins see a bare minimum of our wins starting with a 7. So it has to start with a 7. Whether it gets to 70 plus, you know, time will tell, but we'll see.
We'll see. But how do you think that the off-season moves have improved the team? Do you really think they can catch up those 14 games that projections think so?
To make those games up, we're going to have to play better against the teams in this division, barring the Phillies that we did play well against. But the reality is the Marlins, they were near the bottom or at the bottom for runs and home runs and everything to do with production and offense. So they've added to it. On paper, there's a load more pop. The pitching staff remained, you know, relatively healthy last year. Looks good, is young. Bullpen has been completely replaced. So brand new bullpen. I love talking about bullpens, particularly with the guys on this podcast. So let's get to that a bit later. But
definitely,
I mean, more pop, pitching looks healthy, bullpen is replaced. Anything could happen.
It all sounds great. And I'm just going to bring in Mike here. Mike, do you have anything you want to know about the Marlins?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you've briefly spoke about your off-season moves, and you've certainly added Kintzler, who we had last season, to help improve the bullpen. I'm looking at your rotation, and I think, bar Alcantara, it's okay, but I'm wondering at what time this year do you reckon you'll call Sanchez up from AAA to be a part of that rotation?
Yeah, good question, mate. The reality is there's three guys at the top of the rotation right now, Alcantara, Smith, and Pablo Lopez. We've then got the two other spots I feel are placeholders, and they're placeholders for Sixto plus, you know, one of the other guys. On recent top prospect rankings, they actually have Eddie Cabrera projected ahead of Sixto in some places. So you may not have heard of Eddie Cabrera, but... You know, to answer the question, we'll probably see both of them this year in all likelihood, both Sixto and Eddie Cabrera.
Okay, perfect. And you've kind of answered the other question. I was going to say, bar Sixto, who would you say is going to make the most impact this year through yourselves?
Yeah, rotation-wise, those are the names. They're the big buzzy names. But, you know, there's a ton of guys. As we all know, the Marlins have absolutely hit the rebuild button a few years ago, and the farm has gone from bottom five to top five. So,
oh, incredible. I mean, I'm excited to see Corey Dickerson again playing. If you get the Dickerson that has played in the last couple of years, you've got a really good, really good offensive player there.
Agree, mate. The interesting thing for that, they signed him for 2 years. They gave him money, they paid him, and gave him a 2-year deal. That says to me the Marlins really like him and expect him to play every day in left field for at least 2 years. So you're right. To be honest, mate, we've had other moves that have created more buzz. Aguilars and Kinslers and other, you know, VRs. Aguilars, VRs, Kinslers, I don't know.
Matt Kemp as well.
Kemp as well, yeah. Matt Joyce is in the mix. I mean, there's a ton of names.
Yeah.
Some nightmares about Matt Joyce here. Nightmares.
Yeah.
So positive thinking. And I guess quickly from me again, how competitive do you see the division being? You mentioned it earlier.
It's the most competitive division, without doubt. It is, you know, the Braves were awesome last year. Regular season, they were awesome. Postseason, less so. And from the same division, the Nats went on and won it all. So it's so incredibly competitive. And the reality is, I think the Marlins are better again. And the other teams, I don't think, have got considerably worse. So it's going to be one hell of a battle. I don't know who's going to take it, if I'm honest.
All right. Just a quick question again from me as well, Peter. Do you finish with the worst record in the NL this year? Or who's going to be below you and why?
Oh, yeah. And NL-wise, I think there's the most likely scenario in the East is we're bottom. In the NL, I feel like there's a chance that we won't be, mainly because at the moment the Pirates are trying to be worse than us. So I'll go with that.
Yeah. We had Gareth on last week and he sounded like he was done.
Yeah, he sounded like me in 2018, yeah.
Perfect.
Brilliant. So if you remember those people listening last week, we did a sell your team in 10 seconds feature. We are going to do that again tonight, but I'm going to do it slightly differently. I'm going to make you all wait until the end of these previews, and then you're going to go back to back, a bit of live competition, and Mike and I are going to pick who we think did it best.
Love it.
So
I'll get a few more beers in then.
I would if I were you. You're going to need them. Okay, so we're going to move on now. I don't think he needs too much introduction. You listen to his voice every week. You see him on Twitter, but we got the UK Phillies, Dave, coming on to preview what was a 81-81 team last year, I believe. So, Dave, how are you? And do you think the Phillies are going to win this year?
Good evening, everybody, again. Cheers, boys. Win in terms of a winning record or win the division?
I don't think you're going to win the division, but we'll get there.
No.
I believe they've never had a winning season in your fandom. Is that correct?
Nice. Yeah. I started following them in 2012. 2011 was the last time we had a winning season. And I've never seen one since. We evened out on 500 last year, but it's been tough. It's been really hard. Is this the year? Yes, this is the year, without a doubt. Everything that could have went wrong last year, and we still evened out at 500. We have significantly improved off the field and on the field. I believe the Nationals haven't got better. The Braves slightly have. The Mets are the Mets. And if we can improve our record against the Marlins, I think we'll comfortably get over 500.
So what you mentioned, improving on and off the field, just give us a bit more information on that. Where do you think those big improvements have come?
The biggest, I think, is off the field with Joe Girardi taking over from Kapler. And not only that, but bringing in Joe Dillon and Brian Price, the new pitching and hitting coaches, is huge, is absolutely huge. So the pitching looked lost last year. Brian Price is a very good and experienced pitching coach who can hopefully bring the best out of, not necessarily Nola, but more importantly, Arrieta, Pivetta, Velasquez, Eflin. And so hopefully somebody can bring in on free agency. And hitting as well, you know, Dillon, again, a very good experienced coach. Hoskins needed, he's got a new swing. He's come back with a new swing. He needs to a big year, a big bounce back year. Offensively, we have got potentially a scarily good lineup. Really scary good lineup. And Didi Gregorius coming in really adds to that.
Absolutely. I'm going to bring in Mike here because I know he's going to have some questions for you after the grilling you gave him last week.
Come on, Mike.
Well, you kind of already answered the one, really, in regards to Brian Price and the rotation. How much do you think he's actually going to help your likes of Arrieta and Elfin? Because last season, it almost seemed like Nola was almost a one-man rotation. Sorry, Elfin played a part, but Arrieta has declined over the last couple of years, and it must be a real concern for yourselves.
Injuries for Arrieta is a big concern. He was playing with an injury all last year and then missed the last part of last season with surgery. Fully fit this year, if we can get anything good out of him, it will be a bonus. I'm not expecting too much.
Yeah, and you did obviously mention your offence as well. Obviously, certainly within your infield, that's quite scary. You know, you've got your Hoskins, Kingovy, like you mentioned, Gregorius, etc. I suppose it all depends as well on how McCutcheon, how long it takes him to kind of get back to pace and up to speed.
Yeah, absolutely.
It must be like having a new signing with him coming back.
You just took the words out of my mouth.
Sorry, mate.
fully healthy McCutcheon, who was surprisingly... Well, we knew he's good, but he was even better than we could have imagined. And his injury was a huge loss. Our season went downhill when he went down. And I think it was against the Dodgers or the Padres, one of those two games. And yeah, he was a big loss. And I'm not sure how fully fit he's going to be at the start of the season. He's going to start for sure, but I'm not sure how much they're going to push him to start off with. We've got Hazley, we've got Quinn Harper in the outfield. Jay Bruce is also a great player to have on your bench for power as well. So we've got a bit of cover there while McCutcheon gets up to full health. But yeah, a fully healthy McCutcheon, especially the one we saw last year, which is asking a lot, especially for his age. Well, he's not always 33, but with such a horrible injury and a tough one to recover from, it will be surprising to see him where he was last year. But if he is, yeah, this lineup could be scarily dangerous.
Dave, with that in mind then, where do you see the Phillies finishing in the division this year?
I don't think we'll win it. I'd love to see us win it. But I have... Season's gone by. I build it up so much. This is the year. All the talk comes out. Like, yes, I'm on board. This is it. Especially last year. And it always ends in disappointment. So my feet are slightly on the ground. I think the Braves... Again, I'll still win the division. However, I think we're going to be challenging and hopefully grab a wild card spot. I would say 86, 87 wins. If it really clicks, then watch out. But pitching side of it could still hold us back.
Bold.
10 games up on the projection, but I admire the optimism.
Ignore that projection. They based that on results from last year. Absolute nonsense.
Thanks, Dave.
Cheers, boys.
So now we are going to move on to you, Tracy, with the UK Mets Online. Again, doesn't need much introduction. You've heard her dulcet tones for the last couple of episodes. So, Tracy, how are you tonight?
I certainly have. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm wonderful. And what is that you're drinking, I see, on screen?
Brooklyn Lager, staying true to New York.
She's on brand. That's all we like
to
hear.
Brilliant.
So, Tracy, similar to the other two so far, if you want to just give us a quick backstory on your fandom and what you think about the year ahead.
I became a fan in 2006. I caught a Mets game on holiday and just fell in love with Shea Stadium, with the fans, the team. 2006, we went on to win the NL East, and I've been in love ever since.
Isn't that adorable?
Isn't it just?
So the Mets obviously are projected to win the division this year. They had 86 wins last year.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
I think if we stay healthy and we keep sort of a level head, stay competitive, then we've got a good chance. I think we're going to be up a few wins on last year, but I'd like to say that we are sort of nipping at the heels of whoever's near the top.
And how do you see the off-season acquisitions and moves helping the team this year? Who do you think is going to have the biggest impact?
I think probably Batanz in the bullpen.
Excellent.
Because we have been somewhat lacking in the bullpen of late, and I think he might reinvigorate things a bit.
That's good. It's good to know. And on a similar vein of thought, how do you think that the ownership situation and obviously the management also will have affected things over the off season coming into this year? Do you think it will have an impact on the players?
I don't think ownership will. It hasn't up till now. I don't see why it would. Yeah, it's all a bit up in the air at the moment, but they're going to keep on playing day in, day out. It's what you've got to do as a ball player. I actually like our new manager. He's got good experience within the organisation. He's well known to the players. He's managed a lot of them in the minor leagues. So, yeah.
And hopefully I'm good quite use positive. Of the bullpen. That's what we're striving for.
Oh, yes.
Bang in the bin. Well, that was your old manager, wasn't it? So.
Yeah, they got rid of that one.
Yeah.
But Mike,
put him in the trash can.
Yeah. Mike, anything you want to add? Yeah.
Of course. Obviously, you've kind of touched on it with Denham Batanz. And it's a very, very good arm to have out of the bullpen. And that's a pen that did seem to struggle last year, certainly in regards to the blown saves. If you get Diaz kind of back into how we know he can play, I think he's still a very good closer.
Yes.
However, it's kind of twofold, really. But with the Batanz acquisition, he only did pitch one game last season. Are you worried that he didn't even pitch a full inning in 2019?
No, because we've seen players bounce back from injury and surgeries before.
Yeah.
We have a better physio team than what we used to have, better medical team. And I think the competition will do Diaz good. He will he'll want to compete for his role rather than have Batanz try and steal it from him.
Yeah, I agree. And I think you're looking at, like, you know, your Lugo, Familia, I mean, Justin Wilson, next club. I mean, David's decent names in that bullpen. So it's not as if it's a bad bullpen.
And for me, he's lost a ton of weight. He's lost like 30 pounds in the off season.
Okay.
And he's looking back to sort of the old Familia.
Yeah. Okay. And the other, I suppose, question from myself would be, again, sticking on your pitching, because I actually think your offense is probably one of the strongest in the league, if I want to be honest, on paper.
Mm-hmm.
It's obviously within regards to the rotation. So you got DeGrom, you got four, and obviously you got Stroman from the Blue Jays last year as well. So that's three really good, really strong arms at the top of your rotation.
Yeah.
But then obviously in the off season, you saw Porcello and Washer, who were coming both back on the back of poor 2019s. How important are they finding their 2018 and previous form is for you guys getting the division?
I think they need to find their feet fast. I think they need to find their form fast, because coming from a big media town like New York, the fans won't take it.
No, 100%. And you've got to hope as well that Pete Alonso decides that he wants to carry on hitting home run after home run.
Yeah, really optimistic about Alonso and Jeff McNeil this year.
So then finally, just a quick one, T, where do you think the Mets will finish in the division?
Dreaming, we need to win. But realistically, I would think wild card or third.
Okay, good to know. You've heard it here. Tracy does not believe in the team.
Oh, harsh.
Moving on swiftly. We're going to move on now to Braves in the UK with Bob. You will see a selection of Bob's favourite of his own tweets retweeted onto your timeline about three times a week. So I'm sure you
three
all know.
Three times a day, I think you'll find.
I was trying to be nice, but yeah, it is three times
you've
a day.
You've got an international audience, you know, you've got to reuse that stuff, right, so they don't miss it.
I mean, I fully appreciate that. I do the same. So, Bob, how are you this evening? Are you glad to be on the pod back with your old adversity, Dave, with the UK Phillies? And how badly are you going to beat them again this year?
Well, I got on the call at 8:05. I probably could have had time to watch game 5 of the NLCDS from last year. That lasted less time than this has so far. But yeah, we're about 4 months removed from that night, which was a pretty harrowing 25 minutes. I think I'm finally ready for baseball again.
I mean, take away that night, and it was a great year for the Braves, wasn't it? 97 wins. You must have had a lot of fun watching that team. Do you think it's going to continue this year?
Yeah, I don't think there's an expiry date on this team, which is a pretty good place to be in the sense that, like, you want to win every year. It'd be nice to win the division every year. It'd be nice to win a playoff series. But, like, you know, you can talk about certain teams saying, well, we've got to win this year because, you know, we're losing such and such to free agency in the off-season, or everyone's getting older. That is not the case with this team. There's a lot of good young players. We've still got a pretty good farm system relative to a team that's winning a lot of games already. And, like, we're already good, and I think we're only going to get better.
So, Bob, obviously you mentioned that you've got a good farm system, and you've got four players, according to the MLB prospects, that are looking to potentially come up this year. Waters, Anderson, Wright and Pash. On top of a 97-win season in 2019, Dakota rankings only have yourselves at 83. That seems ridiculously low to me.
Well, I mean, I'm not one to agree with Dave, you know, unless I have to. But I'm of the opinion that the Dakota rankings are just a bit warped anyway. The Detroit Tigers have gone from a 47-win team to a 68-win team by adding CJ Crone. That their projections do look a bit conservative. My thought with that is that their normal projections have the Dodgers winning like 118 games, and so they tone that all down, and everyone converged towards the middle. But we've been, you know, in 2018 we were projected to win 76 games. We won 90. In 2019 we were projected to win 80 games and won 97. I'm not massively worried about that. The reason projections have such a hard time with us is because they can't really work out what we're going to do with our pitching, which is fair enough. But last year, like, we were projecting 80-odd innings out of Max Fried and Mike Soroka, and I think they pitched something like 350 in the end between them. So, no, I'm not hugely worried about the projections. I think they're low on us. I think they're low on the Phillies as well. But, like, you know, like if we can outperform them again as we have done the last couple of years, we're going to win about 105 games, which would be quite a good season.
Yeah, no, agreed. I also think as well, one of the things that maybe they took into consideration is how much of the damage Ozuna can replace from losing Josh Donaldson from third base.
Yeah, I think the, you know, it will be a downgrade in offense. There's probably a bit less uncertainty surrounding Ozuna. I think we know what we're going to get from him. I think that's why kind of everyone's quite confident saying that's going to be a step back, because Ozuna was ridiculous in 2017, but since then has kind of reverted to type. He is going to be a power bat. We are going to miss Donaldson. I think the hope is that if we can get a good full year out of Austin Riley and or Yoan Camargo at third base, the sum of those two plus Ozuna might be as good as the son of Josh Donaldson. The son of Josh Donaldson and Nick Markakis. I think it's a case of Ozuna to Donaldson's a step down, but we're hoping we can lift a few other things up to the point where that should level itself out.
Yeah, which I agree. And you previously mentioned as well about your rotation, about your pitching. But, I mean, like I said, you've got the likes of Soroka, you've got Freud, you've got Cole Hamels. If you're getting Cole Hamels from a couple of years ago, that's a great rotation pitcher, great number four to have. You've got Fulton, which I'm probably not pronouncing that right. so you've got four decent rotation pitchers there.
We've got Felix Hernandez now.
You have, yeah.
Paul Hamels was the big off-season acquisition, and that's gone well because he's already hurt. So we'll probably see. Yeah, he's done his shoulder before he got to spring training, which is lovely. We're thinking kind of weeks rather than months on that one, so it's not, you know, critical. But yeah, the rotation's an interesting one. Mike Soroka was brilliant last year, unbelievably good. I would have given him the NL Rookie of the Year over Pete Alonso, but rumor has it I'm slightly biased.
100%.
Sorry, Mark, I've just got to put on record, by the way, the look of disgust on the face of Tracy and Dave when that Rookie of the Year take was made by Bob. you will not see anything quite like it for some time.
I just think it's harder for a guy to come into the major leagues and pitch with a 2.7 ERA than it is to come in with the ball as it was and hit 53 home runs. I don't think that's a particularly... You know, why, compared to some of my usually wild opinions, I don't think that's one of them. But I can also see why people voted for Alonso, because home runs are quite fun.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Bob. And quickly, do you think you'll win the division again this year?
I don't say that with a great deal of confidence. But I think, you know, if you're looking for, you know, if you're looking to put your money somewhere, I think we're just about the safest bet.
Excellent. Thank you very much. That's Bob again from Cheers, Braves in the UK, which leads us finally on to Rob at Nationals_UK. Of course, our World Series champions and, more importantly, the People's Champions. Rob, you've listened to all of that. Good evening. How are you? And how did you become a fan of the Nats?
I'm a lot newer than you guys. 2016, I went over to Washington and caught a game with the family over there. It was a Saturday evening game. It went on till probably about 12:30, extra innings against Cincinnati Reds. I couldn't even tell you the score now. We got bored and left. ever since then, I've always kind of followed it.
And he fell in love with the sport. What a story.
And I just kept on watching it. Every time it was on over there, I just kept on watching it. And then just picked it up. I went to the Home Run Derby in Hyde Park. When was that, 2017? Absolutely loved that. Got speaking to who was running the Washington Nationals UK account then. And I don't know what happened to him, but he emailed me
Blake?
One day and said, I never got his name, but he emailed me one day and asked if I was taking over the account. So I said, yeah, by all means. And ever since then, I've kind of been forced into it.
It's a really romantic story and picture you're painting for all of us. So I'm going to move on to your current feelings on the matter. Are you still on cloud nine? How are you?
We are.
How are you still feeling about that World Series?
It's great. Yeah, what a series it was. Brilliant. It was absolutely brilliant.
And how do you feel about your title as the People's Champion? I mean, obviously winning a World Series is special in itself, but with all the stuff that's come out about the Astros now...
Yeah, I don't even want to go into that, to be honest. I'm so bored of listening to it all. Poor old George, he's getting battered, isn't he, left, right and centre?
I think it's well-deserved. He showed no remorse.
I do.
Please keep that in, Dave. So, after the euphoria of last year, do you think there's going to be a big come down this year? Obviously...
I think it's got to be, isn't there?
I think it's fairly inevitable. And I was going to just get on to the fact, you've obviously lost... the second best player in baseball, over to the Angels, Anthony Rendon, to that huge lineup over there. How do you think that's going to affect you as well?
Well, that's going to be massive, isn't it? We haven't replaced him, really. We've got Carter Kieboom coming up. He wasn't particularly great last year, although that was in a team that was really struggling at the time. I haven't seen much of the games so far in spring training, but... He's got some big shoes to step into, to be honest. I'm not quite sure how they're going to replace that. It's going to be tough. But hey, we're playing with house money, as far as I'm concerned.
Isn't it?
I'm really not that fussed on what happens. I'll just keep on. Every time I do think, oh, what could happen this year? I just think back to last November, October time, and think, how good was that? You know, it's not really going to get any better than that for the foreseeable.
But you can still enjoy that rotation again this year. Do you think it's the best in the major leagues?
I'd like to see a better one, to be honest. A big thing this year as well is they've added to the bullpen. The bullpen last year was absolutely terrible for a long, long time, bringing in Will Harris, and then obviously re-signing Hudson as well. That's a big, big boost for us. So with the rotation that we've still got, obviously we re-signed Strez to a big deal. A lot of ums and ahs about whether that was worth it. Oh, personally, I don't think you can really turn that down. And then to make the rotation better as well, we're going to win a lot of games. It's just whether we can win enough to keep up, like you guys have already said, to keep up with the Braves and then the Mets, the Phillies, the Marlins, obviously going to be better as well. So it's a really, really tough division.
Absolutely. And Mike?
Yeah, he's kind of already going to discuss what I was going to discuss about obviously losing Rendon. You've signed Asdrubal Cabrera, or you had Cabrera. You've also signed Starling Castro from Miami. And like I said, you've got Kaiboom almost there, but not quite there yet. And I think between those three, like what kind of Bob said earlier about Josh Donaldson, are the parts of those three going to be in? They're not going to be enough to replace someone like Rendon in its entirety. But could it go some way to at least maybe getting half or three quarters of the player that Rendon was?
Well, that's what we've got to hope, isn't it? Like Cav, he was with us last year and he was very good. Although he didn't play third base, he was very good last year. For us, well, I think we signed him like early summertime, did very well. And then I think what they're going to try and do is they've signed Eric Thames from the Brewers. Is it Thames or Thames? I never know how to pronounce it. He's obviously got a lot more power than what we did have. We had Matt Adams and Zimmerman, obviously, that played first base. So they brought in Thames to try and add a few more runs, I guess, to try and soften the blow of Rendon. But yeah, there's no replacing him. There's absolutely no replacing Rendon. So it's going to be interesting to see.
I can't wait to watch him. So very quickly, Rob, as we've said to the others, where do you think you're going to finish in the division?
Listen, I'll be ecstatic with a wild card. I can't see us getting near the Braves. However, with that rotation, we're going to win a lot of games. So we'll wait and see. But who cares, to be honest?
Rob, you've done your service by winning last year's. You've done more than enough.
Yes.
We're more than happy.
We'll never forget this. So thanks, everyone. That was the roundtable panel discussion. What we're going to do now, as I said in the middle of that, is we're going to give each of them 10 seconds to sell their team to any new fans. Obviously, we had Matt on earlier with the Dodgers. If you don't want the Dodgers, but you do want to pick your own team and one of these five, I'm going to let them sell the teams to you. So we're going to start in the same order we've just done this. Pete, are you ready?
I'm ready. Get the club ready.
Mike's going to be timing you, so go, Pete. Really.
It's pretty simple. If you're a grower and not a shower, the Marlins are the team for you. So that should account for 95% of the population.
Moving on, that was Pete. So we've now got Dave with the Phillies. I know he's been preparing for this for several weeks.
How do I top that?
Dave, when you're ready.
Right, 10 seconds. So Citizens Bank Park, one of the best ballparks in baseball. Great city, best fans, most passionate fans, incredible passion. We're going to be underdogs. We've got Bryce Harper. We're an East Coast team, good for the time. Philly fanatic. Family team, Scott Kingery breakout, Joe Girardi, fun team, going to win it.
I just heard a lot of passion there. And
there was a passion.
And Mike Trout will never be a Philly. That's what I've heard.
Yeah, but he's already a Philly legend. It doesn't matter.
Tracy, how can you top that?
Well, I'll try.
Okay, well, here we go.
We have Pete Alonso, Jeff McNeil, Jacob deGrom, Mr. Met. We are the underdog team. We are the most passionate fans in baseball. Next.
There's a lot of passion being shown here, isn't there?
I have an objection here. Since one of the Mets and the Phillies been underdogs?
We will be this year. Everyone's writing us off.
Yeah, I'm with Bob on this one. Not when you spend sort of money. Well, Bob, tell us about the Braves.
Ronald Acuña Jr., and you can have the other 8 seconds back.
Perfect. That's lame. I expected more.
You've got Ozzy Albies as well. I mean, I love Albies.
I mean, if you give me 5 minutes, I can do the full hit, but in 10 seconds...
Absolutely not. I'm vetoing that.
We've got the Dave. Most exciting player in baseball, right? That's it. That's all you need to know.
Oh, behave yourself. Michael Nelson Trout begs to differ. Now, we're moving on, finally. Rob, give me the best 10 seconds of your life.
Are you sure you can manage?
I can take at least 6 of them.
Current champions, we smashed them dirty cheats. As Bob said, you can have them other 5 seconds back.
I've got to be honest. I think the NL Central did it a lot better than you guys.
Yeah, this has been disappointing, guys.
But I think, Mike, who's your favourite there? I think I'm going to give it to Tracy.
What?
Okay, yeah, I was going to give it to Rob just because of the Astros beating again, which I'm always a fan of.
And I didn't say passion 50 times.
Well, that's true. Okay, fine. We're going to vote for Rob. Well done, the Nats. You've got 2 new fans.
Yes.
Okay. As we did last week, as you know, earlier in the week, we put out suggestions. People wanted to write in, give us some questions, both on the Facebook page and on the Twitter at PT, what was it? PTBNL. We got one from Facebook from Richie Jackman, which is mainly to you, Pete, although anyone can chime in, please. Are there any positives at all for the Marlins season, or are they the whipping boys yet again?
Oh, my ears. My ears! I think there's a lot of positives, but I don't know. We are probably going to be the whipping boys, though, so yeah.
Good question here from Twitter, Phil Jenkins 86. To all of you, who is going to be the breakout star of the division? I'll start with you, Dave, since you're staring at me.
Oh, not intentionally. Of the division, on the Philly side, Scott Kingery. Division, Scott Kingery.
Okay. Let's see if this theme continues. Tracy?
I'm going to say Jeff McNeil.
Yeah, it's going as expected. Bob, give me something. Give me something else.
Well, from the Braves, I'll say Max Fried. But I think if I'm going to try and be objective, given that I don't think any of the big Braves prospects are coming up, if I'm going to make Dave feel a little bit happier, if there is a prospect that might make an impact this year, it might be Alec Bohm.
There we go. Yeah, Pete, absolutely. Pete, what do you think?
There's so many to choose from.
There's not a Marlin.
None.
There's so many. But the Marlin I'll give you, purely just on looks, is Jorge Alfaro. He has turned up looking like Wolverine / Marshawn Lynch / I don't know what. The guy looks like a bad, bad, bad man.
If we're doing it on looks, I'd like to resubmit Max Fried.
If it's on looks, I keep Scott Kingery.
And Rob?
Oh, for the division, I wouldn't even know where to start. But for the Nats, I'd like to see Victor Robles come out of Juan Soto's shadow a little bit.
He
played a lot last season, but I'd like to see him really step it up this year.
I think that's a good shout. This is a good one from the best Braves account on Twitter, ChopOnUK1. If you got a Hall of Fame vote, nominate one retired player from each team that belongs in the Hall of Fame and why. And who wants to jump in first?
Go. There's two names that come up, which I appreciate you only asked for one. But I'll say Andrew Jones is the Braves name that keeps coming up. I don't pretend to know a huge amount about him. He's well before my baseball supporting time, but by all accounts, one of the best center fielders of his time. It is a name that keeps coming up from the Braves side.
Is there anyone you can think of from one of the other teams? I know the question was about each team, but I don't think we have time for that. So just any names you think should be in the Hall of Fame, whether your team or one other in the division.
Well, you're asking too much of my baseball knowledge, I think, on that front. The only guys I've heard of are the guys that have already gone in.
Yeah.
But if anyone else wants to chime in, they're more than welcome.
Side in 2024, 2023, some of the 2008 World Series winners start getting legible. Chase Utley, Ryan Howard, Jimmy Rollins, Carlos Ruiz. Probably J-Roll, Howard and Utley have probably got the best chance going in. Utley may be the best chance. It's a bit of a long shot, but I'd love to see him in there.
I had to put this question out to other Nats fans due to the fact I've only supported them for a few years and due to the fact I've only been around, since 2007. I had to put it out to them. They've come back to me with Dimitri Young, who I've had a look on online at. He's quite, looks like quite a character. And the other guy was Chad Cordero, who was a pitcher back in the day.
Well, there you go. I think that's great suggestions. I'm gonna move on to a question from Arnott Will. He says, with it being so tight at the top of the division, what do you think is the one element of your team that gives you the edge over your division rivals?
I'll go with our offense. Absolutely. If they click, I think we're going to have to score more runs and concede because I think we're going to concede a few with our pitching, but potentially we could be knocking teams off the park this year. Potentially.
Yeah,
for us, it's fairly obvious. It's obviously the rotation.
A quick one it's Mike. And this might be a question that we put out on the pod over Twitter, but obviously researching your teams today, I think the NL East, out of all the rotations in all of the divisions, the NL East has the strongest rotations. It's incredible. They're insane. I mean, when you're looking at someone like the Braves and you've got Fried, Soroka, and they're talked about behind the likes of DeGrom and Scherzer and Strasburg, it's incredible. The depth of pitching in this league is insane.
Yeah, it is. It really is. You know, we've only got really Nola and Wheeler this edition, but I wouldn't say the Braves.
Sorry, Dave.
I wouldn't say the Braves is that good. But the Nationals and Mets, yeah, DeGrom, Syndergaard, Scherzer. Who's the other Nats pitcher?
Strasburg.
We've got Anibal Sanchez as well.
Yeah,
Anibal Sanchez. And the Marlins, we struggle against the Marlins pitches. So all the pitching is a problem for us last couple of years. But yeah, the Mets and the Nationals have a rotation we'd all pretty much love.
Speaking of the White Sox UK, we did have a question from them, which is, if you had to pick one player from each team in the division to join your team, who would it be?
Oh, I saw this one, so I'll go first. We'd have DeGrom, Soto and probably Real Muto, and then just probably Matt Kemp from the Marlins just for the bants.
Good question. We need pitching. So Scherzer from the Nationals, DeGrom from the Mets, and that's the World Series in the bag. And then from the Braves, Acuna will be obvious, but I love Freddie Freeman. He's a player who you just cannot dislike. He's such an incredible guy. Freddie Freeman, I don't think he'd play much with Reese at first, but he's great for the locker room and for the dugout. So we'll bang him in there. Marlins, I'd have two players from the Marlins. I'd have Alfaro back in a shot as backup catcher for JT. And I'd have Sixto Sanchez back without a doubt. He's going to be a stud for the Marlins. I'm kind of gutted he's gone, but JT, is the best catcher in baseball. But
But are you going to pay him?
He'll be signing long term. No worries, no concerns.
I'm definitely looking forward to Real Muto not re-signing with the Phillies, because Phillies fans are talking about it like it's a certainty, and I would be if it was on my team. But if I'm Real Muto and I don't get, you know, $25 million a year, I'm probably going to hit free agency and see what's out there.
He'll get the money. He'll be paid.
Trout 2021, and Tracy, who would your players be?
From the Marlins, Sandy Alcantara. From the Braves, Ozzy Albies, because we need a second baseman. Phillies, John Segura, again, need a second baseman.
You could have him.
Cheers, Dave. You heard it here first.
You can sign them off.
The good thing is that the Mets have no previous track record of taking on big contracts for aging second basemen, so that's a good fit.
I reckon Segura will be traded in the by the deadline anyway.
And from the Nationals, Max Scherzer.
Yeah, Pete, I agree. Pete, do you want all of them? You want the rosters of all four teams?
We'll just take back the players we've traded away. We'll just take them back. I don't know.
Yeah, Castro, Ozuna, Realmuto. Yeah, you've got the block, right? Yeah.
Our team's back, and we've got some pitching. Actually, this team could win some games.
I don't think
it's a scary head, thing. Wouldn't
it? I love it.
I'd ask Rob, but I don't want to put him under pressure. So.
DeGrom, just so that five in the rotation could be a complete
scary.
Oh my god! Yeah. Imagine him right. In the rotation. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
That's the last of the questions I've got. Unless Mike's got anything more, I'm going to pass you back over to Dave. Dave, you can just finish us off because I want to go and eat some pancakes.
Oh, hello.
Mike, have you got anything else you want to ask? Or has anyone got any questions to each other they want to ask?
I don't quick think, question. I think... So, is this division closer than the NL Central we discussed last week?
I think it's better in quality.
Yes. But, so, better in quality,
that,
closer.
That wasn't the question.
Closer.
Yes, I think it's a four-headed beast.
So, that last you've got one of them.
Five-headed. Sorry, Marlin. To be fair, for the Phillies, the Marlins are a beast to us. So, for us, it's a five-headed beast. And we've got to improve our record against the Marlins this year. That is essential for making a wild card. We dropped so many games to the Marlins. Heavy defeats as well and some heartbreakers. But the NL Central will be close, but the Marlins will be better than the Pirates, which means the NL East will be a better division.
I think the winner of this division will be a lot better than the winner of the NL Central. Whoever it will be. This is a really good league. Really,
guys, brilliant. We're pretty good on time. That was pretty much an hour. So well done, guys. Well done to Nick and Mike. brilliant, guys. Thank you very much. That rounds off the NL East Fans Preview Podcast. Random bit of Elton John. Guys, thank you so much for listening, leaving some great feedback as well. It is seriously appreciated. You can find us on all the major podcast providers now, so please subscribe to the pod, rate, listen, spread the word, retweet. And Tracy, anything you want to add?
Yeah, 5-star ratings are appreciated. make sure you follow us on Twitter, Facebook, anywhere else you want to. I'm sure you'll find us on there.
Absolutely. And we'll have the next preview show coming on hopefully next week. So keep your eyes peeled for that. But for now, guys, thank you very much for all coming on. Thank you for your time. And that's a wrap. Cheers, guys. See you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.